So welcome to this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast, sponsored by Sensormatic. My guest this week is Phil Wilson, Head of Supply Chain Services at Orage. Phil has spent the last 6 or 7 years with Orage. Prior to that, a raft of vendors all in and around the supply chain arena. And Phil interestingly kicked off his working life with a significant 20-year stint at Sainsbury's. And when I was doing the math before Phil and I came on air, I was trying to work out whether that was the same period of time that I was at Sainsbury's as well. So who knows? So Phil, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Yeah, delighted to have you involved. We like to have an interesting array of people. And I know you and I specifically coordinated our shirts before we came on air today. So I'm glad to see both of us got that memo. So way back when, young Wilson sat there in his short trousers. Were you thinking, I want a career in grocery and then supply chain, or was there something else that was getting your heart beating at the time? What was the process?
Oh, far from retail, I can assure you, Paul. I remember very well, crikey, in 1989, just about to start my university life, I fancied a year out. So I thought, well, I'll get a job while I'm having my year out, and saw an advert for Sainsbury's. So applied, got the job, and kind of got the bug for it as well, if I'm being honest. So I spent a year as a training manager in Sainsbury's, and the rest is history in that sense. 20 years later, I was still there. So, yeah. But my long-term ambition as a schoolboy was to join the Navy, funny enough. So, but I didn't quite get there. So here I am in retail.
Well, there you go. I'm not sure whether the Navy might still be beckoning, maybe just a small boat on the local reservoir. So 20 years in Sainsbury's is quite the stint. I was on the home base side of things. So when Sainsbury's owned it, so I was to be found in green dungarees and a lumberjack shirt. You obviously got the slightly more fetching orange at the time. But what were you doing? What that 20 years?
So as I said, I started as a training manager in stores, working in stores, and there was a trial going on at the time. I think it was a fairly unique trial in the sense that we were trialing a stock management system, and I was asked by my then store manager to look after it for our store, and I duly agreed. And then kind of from there became a bit of an expert in our local district, and basically a job came up to go and teach everyone else how to use this system. So I joined what was then the regional systems team. From there, joined a business division called Stockwise, which was basically a head office operation set up for the better management of stock within stores, trying to reduce shrinkage, looking at risk. And fortunately, from that point, I was then asked to head up the security operations for Sainsbury's, which I did for a number of years before leaving in 2009. So, yes, stock management is in my blood.
So you were Mr. Stockman. I mean, I remember. So many different scenarios being tried. Even to the point where, the Arctic driver, the lorry driver, used to sit outside while every single pallet was individually counted and checked off. Then we tried a process where it was just a drop and go, and whatever the stores claimed was missing was credited as well. And
that's exactly how it was in Sainsbury's as well. You wouldn't count every pallet, you'd count every case of stock coming in the back door, and it was a laborious job. And so systems which were enabled us to remove that function was right up our street, and we wanted to do that. Labour savings, cost savings, all sorts. So I spearheaded that as a young man.
Crazy to think now, but I remember on the home base side of things, we used to get entire pallets, the mixed pallets, come in. And they were literally full pallet size, sort of 3-4 feet high, and individual items. There was hundreds of items in there with this sort of long sheet. Then you sort of, what do you do? There was no process. It's just kind of make it up as you go along.
And it was some of the spurious claims that were being processed as well. You talk to people and they'd say, well, we're missing a case of baked beans, but we're claiming for a case of salmon, those sorts of things. All these things were going on. Very different times.
I've alluded to this before, but I even remember being taught as a management trainee and store management through a number of retailers about how far you could push the claims, you know, and everything from the physical cash to the product, to even when stores were cross-referencing each other's and we had external teams in. I mean, yeah, if there was a trick to be found, yeah, it was in the unwritten store management guide, let alone what the fraudsters were doing on the outside. It was yeah, anything to keep that inventory figure below 1%, then 0.8% and wherever it went.
Absolutely, yeah.
Down to 0.35 at one particular retailer, and some of the stores were still running at 4%. That started to become quite a challenge. But anyway, so, I mean, inventory accuracy has come a long way in the last couple of decades.
Certainly has, yeah. Sure.
And the DC side, you know, would you say it's fair to say, did that follow the stores? Did that play catch up, or was it the DCs first, do you think, and then that cascaded to stores?
I think it was probably the stores cascading to DCs. And the reason I say that is I think DC stock management systems are still evolving. Whereas I think there's a fairly basic, at a high level, there's a very basic process for managing stock in stores. You know, you count stock, it gets sold, it goes out the inventory, and then, you know, you've got a stock book. Whereas in DCs, you've kind of got so many different ways of picking stock, so many different ways of managing stock. Of course, there's never a sale in a DC. So there's no absolute moment where you know that stock has left the building. So I think DC inventory management is still evolving. I think there's, you know, it's obviously come a long way in the last 20 years or so, but there's definitely an argument to say that they haven't got it right yet. And yeah, automations come in and that you think that'll be foolproof. It's not. You know, and where you've got humans, you've got error. So yeah, I think there's a bit of a way to go before you can say that they're the same, but certainly cascading from stores to DC in my view. Yeah.
So just being slightly argumentative for a moment, if the inventory accuracy is there in stores, does it really matter if it's not right in the distribution centres?
Well, I think the point really is inventory accuracy right in stores? All I'm saying is that the process is there. I think inventory inaccuracy basically starts from the DC. So at the point where you're picking stock and delivering it to a store, that's where it could be corrupted. And then, obviously, when you start checking the stores, at least you've got a reference point to say it's left the building, as you know, as long as there's no theft and things going on, which there probably will be. So you know at least at that point that when you've got your stock take, your twice yearly annual stock take, you know you've got an accurate stock figure. Very few DCs have a full stock take, where every single thing's counted. It'll be a mammoth task. So they tend to do perpetual stock taking, which, again, is done over a period of time, weeks, months. And so you never have a full one figure in a DC in the same way you would in a store.
Yeah, interesting. It was we had Tony D'Onofrio on recently, and he pulled out a figure, I forget, from one of the consultancies, and they were talking about $1.8 trillion worth of inventory inaccuracy within retail at any one time. And clearly, a huge global footprint the retail's got, but that is a hell of a figure. From your experience, I mean, in stores, everybody's got an opinion on where the losses are coming from, and some will say it's internal and others will play that one down a little bit. But in the distribution centres, are we not scanning staff and random checks in and out? Is it theft? Where do the inaccuracies come from, do you think?
It's very similar to stores in the sense that you will get theft, you'll get stock coming in the back door in the wrong way and all those things. But fundamentally, what you're doing is you're asking people to pick things in a very huge scale to put on the back of a lorry. And even when it gets on the back of the lorry, you still don't know it's going to arrive where it's supposed to arrive. Certain distribution centres will have multiple retailers on the back of their van, and yeah, you could have retailer A ending up with retailer B stock, and I've seen that happen multiple times. So there's a lot more involvement in getting stock from A to B in a depot than it is just getting it from, you know, the back door of a store to the checkout. And I think that's fundamentally why there's so many different reasons it can go wrong. And as I said before, human error is probably high up there. Customers pick their own stock in a store, whereas you employ people to pick stock in a depot. And therefore, you know, if the customer gets it wrong, well, it's either more money in your till or less money in your till. Whereas, you know, if you do it in a depot, you've got bad inventory. It's quite, I see it as simply as that, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, thinking it through, bad inventory means a store, I guess, is ordering stock, which then they go to pick, doesn't arrive, and then all of a sudden your customer experience isn't where you.
Yeah.
But I heard one retailer recently saying that for some of their stores, from the time that they received a product from a supplier through to being picked, shipped, and ready for a customer to collect, they'd got it down to 5 or 6 hours, which we thought was just mind blowing in terms of the, and they were trialing this out sort of just in time. But I mean, that leaves no room for maneuver at all, does it? And your inventory's got to be spot on at that
point. Absolutely. And I'd say every retailer, I'm sure, has got really good inventory controls in their DC and in their stores. I'm sure of it. But you and I wouldn't be sat here now if they got it right all the time. So I guess the thing is trying to plug those holes as best as possible and mitigate the risk that they have of missing inventory. And without sounding too salesy, that's where Orange would come in and help that. So I think it's just understanding where those points are within the supply chain, particularly where that inventory can go wrong, and really drilling down into the detail of what's causing the process to go wrong. Because as I said, everyone will have a process to mitigate inventory risk. Whether it's applied fully or properly or accurately is another question.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned that's where Orange would come in, because I want to try and understand. So if I'm running my distribution centres, clearly you're using all of your expertise to front the bit of Orange that will go in and help retailers with their distribution centre accuracy. But it'd be interesting to get your take on why I should be doing that with a third party and not bringing it in-house. And I'm going to give you 30 seconds to think about that, because we're just going to take a brief break and hear from our sponsors. And then when we come back, I'll get you to answer the question.
Thanks, Paul.
Now, more than ever, retailers and shopping centres need to create efficient and safe shopping destinations that can thrive in the most challenging of market conditions. Sensormatic Solutions uniquely combines insights into loss and liability, shopper insights and inventory visibility to help you power operational excellence and deliver frictionless, secure, personalised shopper experiences while driving revenue. Visit us at sensormatic.com to learn more.
So welcome back to this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast, sponsored by Sensormatic. My guest is Phil Wilson, Head of Supply Chain Services at Orange. Prior to that break, we were talking about some of Phil's background, particularly those 20 years in Sainsbury's. And I was just asking the question about inventory accuracy within distribution centres, but if I want to increase my inventory accuracy within my DCs, why would I go to a vendor such as Orange to help me with that over and above doing something internally? So I'm looking for an informative answer without giving us an Orange sales pitch, because I know everybody knows you and that'll take care of, sure, of your expertise. But why would I bring in somebody like Orange to help with that process?
Well, there's a number of reasons. I mean, I think first and foremost, it's independence. You're kind of asking people to check their own homework when you're looking at, because it is a case of, value, risk, shrinkage. It crystallizes in a store. And you're trying to get to the point where your stores have faith in your DC to deliver the right stock. And an independent checker would always provide that assurance. But the bigger thing for me is really about the root cause analysis. It's not just about saying, yes, you're inaccurate. It's trying to really understand why you're inaccurate. And we have the resources and the technology, if you like, to really drill back to, yes, we found something that's wrong. Here you go. Here's why it's wrong. Here's what you're doing wrong. You may have process holes. You may have, people who aren't necessarily doing the right thing with their jobs. And that's the kind of insight that you probably wouldn't get on your own, because you are marking your own homework. And it's not just a number saying, yes, this is bad. It's why it's bad. And really trying to help understand and fix those issues.
Yeah, I love that analogy, actually. I mean, I guess that really sums it up, doesn't it? And actually, you're quite right. I've seen and looked after stores where you get a bad result on your inventory, you put everything right, you think you've corrected the process, and then 3 or 6 months later, when you do your inventory again, it's there. And if somebody else, I guess, is looking externally, then hopefully a better chance of uncovering what's going wrong.
Of course, the other thing, Paul, is and it's okay, we work for a number of retailers, and we learn from them, and we can pass those learnings on to other people. You know, someone's in the forefront of what they're doing, and we're supporting that work, and there's no reason why we can't pass that knowledge to other clients. And I think that's quite important, because, you know, at the end of the day, shrinkage is a global problem. Everyone has the same thing, and we're all trying to fix it, aren't we? You're trying to fix it, we're trying to fix it, you know, we're all in it together. So we're happy to share our learnings with our clients, and you know, we'd like to think that our clients would happily let us do that.
Yeah, you're right. It's one of those interesting areas, isn't it? It's sort of perceived, and quite rightly so, outside of competitive advantage. Yeah, of course, the supply chain efficiencies and processes, but anything that helps other retailers, you know, cut down on shrink, stop fraud, stop risk is sort of fits into that collaborative area for sure.
Yeah, and certainly my time in Sainsbury's, when I was working in security, you know, I worked collaboratively with many, many retailers, and you know, we all gain benefit from that. And I think, you know, it's just a battle we're all fighting together, and that's why we all come together for your events, and why we all come together for other events, because yeah, we want the solutions. We want to find out what we're doing and what we need to do better.
So look, I've got to ask you, and I'm not sure if you're expecting this one, but you said you work with a number of retailers. Is there anything, without, you know, crossing a line, that you can share in terms of, you know, maybe some that you're working with, any kind of headline, they had this problem and we took over the management and this was the outcome, any kind of little snippets or insights you can share on that front?
Without naming the client or with naming
the client? Well, if you name it, we'll take a name check. We love a name check.
Okay, I'll give you a really good example. We've had a very long-standing relationship with the Co-op, and you know, they're a well-known retailer over here in England, and they had issues, funnily enough, not with their own DCs, but with some of their suppliers, and we were asked to check. You know, we still do it now. Supply and deliveries, you know, the ones that deliver direct to store. So again, taking the pain away from the store to check those sandwiches or those, you know, the bread or whatever it might be. And so we do that for them, and we provide them with the insight and the intelligence to say to their supplier, hold on a minute, you're not quite sending us the right stock here, and this is going straight to store. And you know, we're there. And I'd say, if, yeah, I'm pulling numbers out a little bit, but they've probably gone to the very low percentile of inventory inaccuracy now for those suppliers, and the suppliers see the benefit of that as well, of course, because they're not getting claims left, right, and centre. So,
no, we're not getting, you know, ops managers walk into the store and going, as used to be the case, you know, why is there a, you know, 6 metre long display of X beer brand or Y beer brand that come on in, and the store manager just happens to have a new Sony Walkman, as was at the time, or used to love those days when you used to purchase directly from the suppliers. Anyway, long since gone. So, looking forward, you guys have obviously got a good roster of retailers that you work with. One assumes you're always on the lookout for more. But what kind of future do you see for, you know, the work that you're doing in the distribution centres? Is it evolving? Are people still getting a grip? I mean, what's it looking like on a day-to-day?
That's a really interesting question, Paul. And the reason I say that is there's a number of things going on in the world which, you know, are bigger than us. And then, you know, I say depot automation is a big thing. That's going to change the way we actually look at what we do as a business to provide support to those businesses. RFID is another thing which, you know, one day will become, and it's been talked about for many, many, I remember going to conferences in the 90s, you know, and one day that will be a big thing, and it will become affordable, and people will use it more in their DCs. And again, that'll have a big impact on how we, you know, work as a business. So we're kind of, I guess, looking at how we can embrace that kind of technology and what we can do around that technology. Whilst it's still in the early stages of, you know, sort of fruition, there will come a time where, you know, you could argue that actually us putting people in a DC to help manage accuracy is no longer required. So we have to think about different ways of how we can evolve with that, and we are doing that. But as it stands now, certainly for the short-term future, we're very much, you know, bums on seats, get our guys in there, give them the expert knowledge that they need to actually then go out and support these retailers in managing their inventory.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It's always that balance, isn't it, between, you know, one foot in the now and one foot in the future. Mm. You have to get that right. So A, you're not offering something that the market's not ready for, and B, when it shifts, you're not able to provide it. So we keep reading about, you know, the massive shift to online, a change in, you know, the dynamic and the makeup of retail. You know, I know some other retailers have now come out and said patterns are maybe returning to pre-pandemic levels and mixtures. Have you got any sort of take on that? I mean, do you see distribution centers as being, you know, at the forefront of retail growth? I know you guys do, you know, traditionally, if that's not been unkind to it, inventory management in stores. Where do you see the mix and the focus going for your business?
Well, I certainly see in the wider industry that, you know, we are seeing a lot more DCs becoming the shop floors, if you like, the front of stores and the shop windows of the retailer in many, many ways now, for more retailers than there were pre-pandemic. And we've got a kind of a suite of services we can offer. But in terms of, you know, the one big thing that's always staggered me, and I think I was talking to one of our prospects, that something like 65% of their outgoing online stock was being returned. And of course, someone has to manage that return, and someone has to make sure that return is going back into the inventory. And yeah, so there's a whole raft of new issues now that we've come up against, which we're making solutions for. We've got some solutions for, but it's all, again, learning with our clients about, you know, what they are facing. And I say returns is one thing, and actually just getting, you know, you've got to go back even further to the supplier, to the retailer, because again, that's really where the customer's online experience starts. You know, they're ordering stock 2 or 3 days out, and yeah, that's going to be taken from a DC to a fulfillment center and then put on a van to the front door. And that's a whole different dynamic to what we're used to in just basic, you know, normal retail. So yeah, we're kind of learning with a bit of that as well. And you know, I think we have solutions for them. We're looking at how we can get people into DCs to actually just manage that entire returns process. Not physically do the returns, but make sure that there's a process which is, you know, fit for purpose, if you like. And that's kind of where we are now, is just trying to understand what those retailers really need and what the size of their issue is, because these guys don't really know themselves.
No, I think you're right to call that out. I mean, that the whole returns piece, you know, grappling with it, processing the stock, keeping the cost. I mean, it is just phenomenal, isn't it, in terms of the requirements?
And people don't return stock for good reason sometimes. It's just, you know, they'll buy three things of the same size and send two back, you know. It's a different world for a lot of people. A lot of people are getting used to it still, as are we. So, yeah.
Yeah, and just on a simplicity, you know, you might have a certain shirt size and in one brand that fits and the same size for another. But, you know, it's just so, yeah, we're all ordering.
It's phenomenal. It's mind-blowing how much stock gets sent back. And, of course, that, again, is just pure logistical nightmare.
And there's some retailers now, I know Amazon started it, but you can actually order three sizes and you have 7 days before you get charged. So they're even encouraging you to
returns.
Order sizes, because they know, because, you know, obviously one of the barriers for a lot of people is, if I'm going to order three sizes of a shirt, that's three times the cost times maybe a couple of styles. It gets expensive. So I think the return thing, I'm not sure we've got the silver bullet yet necessarily.
No, I don't think we have either. I wouldn't profess to, but I think there is definitely an issue to be solved there for sure.
So finally, probably one of the most disruptive 18 months that retail has experienced, various parts of the world unlocking and getting back to some sort of normal. Are you optimistic for the future of retail? Do you have some red warning flags that you think are going to be issues? What's your personal opinion? Are you excited for retail?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, my personal opinion is that there are people with money to spend. I think, you know, the economy will bounce back, and I think retail will be at the front of that. I think people want, you know, for the lack of all the traveling we've not been able to do and all the things that we've had to sacrifice over the last 18 months, I think, you know, people want to go out there and start enjoying themselves again. And whether that's through shopping or buying holidays, I think, yeah, it's boom time, I think. I really do have very, very high hopes.
Yeah, certainly. I tend to agree. I mean, you know, just anecdotally, whenever you speak to people, there does seem to be that, you know, more people with cash, you know, burning away in their pocket than empty pockets. And retail.
And I hope it does. And I think I say that because, you know, as I've been working retail for the past 30 odd years, and you know, it's something I'm very passionate about and something I want to see you do well. And you know, we are very much, or so I am very much optimistic that there's a good future, whether that be in online or in physical stores. I think time will tell.
I guess you don't really care, because whatever channel it gets to the consumer, it's still physical stock that needs counting.
Correct.
Phil, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for being insightful and educating and managing to navigate that very difficult path that those that are vendor side sometimes have in terms of sharing information, but not doing the sales pitch. Absolutely first class. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Paul.
Seeing you in person in the near future.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much, Paul.
Thanks, Phil.